Ethan and team take on their most impossible mission yet, eradicating the Syndicate, an international and highly skilled rogue organization committed to destroying the IMF. Welcome to the list of...
Yeah.
I tried to do the Mission Impossible theme, but then it turned into the Final Fantasy attack theme.
A Simpsons podcast that became a Futurama podcast.
Yeah, I'll fix it in post. Yeah.
I can't imagine. What's the Mission Impossible theme?
Limit break.
Yeah.
Yes, welcome to Two Bad Neighbors presents The List Off, a Simpsons podcast that became a Futurama podcast that flamed out very quickly and is now about what we should have been talking about from the very beginning, the movies, specifically the movies of the 2010s. Mm. And I'm here, as always, with my co-host,
Alan.
And I'm Greg Bot.
No.
No?
That was retired.
We've left that behind.
Yeah, you're just normal
like
Greg.
So many things, but today we have ourselves a guest.
A returning guest.
A returning guest. One of our favorites.
One of our best.
I would say my favorite.
No
shade.
It's one of mine.
No shade to anyone else, but...
I don't want to hurt anyone else's feelings, but...
She's easily far and away my favorite. Way above Ryan.
That's very fair.
I should hope so.
Yeah, you know what? Fuck Ryan. He's not going to listen to this. And that's
there's a reason we don't say thanks, Ryan, at the end of every episode.
That's right. Every Patreon episode.
Patreon.
To be clear.
Yeah, so make sure you subscribe to Patreon.
Patreon.com/
Then you'll understand that joke.
Spelled the German way.
Yeah.
Where you may find our takes on Love is Blind Season 6.
Yeah. Hot takes.
Yeah, and the alternate opening to this episode.
This episode that we're currently recording will come out long after Love is Blind Season 6 is wrapped.
Yes.
Therefore, you can listen to our past thoughts and see how wrong
cold,
we
were. Cold takes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But yes, Ali, welcome to the show once again.
Thank you.
It's
so nice to be welcomed into my own house.
Well, I'm not welcoming you to the house, I'm welcoming you to the podcast. Mm-hmm,
welcome to the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the podcast show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is episode 3 or 2.
Have I appeared already?
Yes.
You have, but with Camille.
No, this is 2, because you were on Edge of Tomorrow.
That's right. That's what I was wondering. I was like, is this your first solo appearance? But it's not. It's your second solo appearance.
Yeah.
People are going to get sick of me.
Nah.
No. Don't worry about that. My sister loves listening to the show while she's running.
Great.
Yeah.
So we are here to talk about Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
That's right. MI5. We finally got there.
In the Mission Impossible franchise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the first by Christopher McQuarrie.
McHugh, as Tom Cruise lovingly calls him. Yeah.
We have already discussed Ghost Protocol.
We have.
Because that also appeared on our list.
Mm-hmm.
And that was number 4.
Mm-hmm. Discussed with Camille.
With Camille.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so we figured this time, let's bring in Ali.
Yeah. Close the loop, as it were.
Excellent.
Yes.
This was on my list too, wasn't it?
It sure was.
Yeah.
That's why you're here.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah. But just for those curious, mm-hmm. So this is number 36 on our list, on our communal list, mm-hmm. Mission Impossible Rogue Nation from 2015. It had 50 points. It was on 3 of 20 lists. The highest was number 5 with Camille.
Mm-hmm.
Camille had it higher than you. Mm-hmm. I think you had it number 6 or something. So like you were so close. Mm-hmm. And again, we already had Camille for the other one. So we're like, let's bring Ali in. I will say, of the 3 lists, I was the other one.
Excellent.
This is such a good choice, and it's so your mission.
It is. That's the thing. It's like the Mission Impossibles. We know both Greg and I, and obviously Ali and Camille, all love them.
Yep.
For the purposes of this list, I personally just wanted to choose one to represent the franchise.
Me too.
And so I chose this one because it is my favorite of the franchise. Mm-hmm. I think still to this day. Fallout might be a close second. But And, you know, even Dead Reckoning might be, like,
it's
number
so
three.
Tough.
Like,
it's so tough.
It's so we've tough. Talked about this when we did our commentaries on Patreon. Like, it's whichever one I'm watching, right?
Yes, that's truly.
That's, I think, the perfect way to describe it. My favorite Mission Impossible movie is the one I'm currently watching.
Yeah.
And it's just very apt. But this one is definitely the one for me that I remember loving them up, you know, well, up and down, you know, with two and three.
Mm-hmm.
But loving one and four quite a bit. And then this one was the one where I was just like, this is like the action franchise I want.
Yeah.
And and this one sold me on it. And it's also the first appearance of Rebecca Ferguson. And she is a queen and we love her. And she's, what is the queen? No, the eternal grandmother. What is her name?
Reverend Mother.
Reverend Mother. That's the word.
The Reverend Mother of the Bene Gesserit.
That's right.
Yep.
Lisan Al-Ghaib.
Drinker of the water of life. Bringer of the Lisan Al-Ghaib.
Yeah, for the listeners, we all just recently saw Dune 2.
so good.
I knew this was going to happen, because I'm like, we're going to talk about Becky Fergs, and I can't not...
Becky Fergs.
Bringing her up in Dune. So, anyway.
Becky Fergs, a woman who looks like she walked out of a painting.
Oh, yeah. Gorgeous.
And into our hearts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Reminiscence?
On the White Queen?
Oh. Mm. yes. White Queen and Reminiscence, I saw it in theaters.
Did you?
Yes. Do you know why?
Because it was the pandemic?
Because, it was the pandemic, so I knew no one was going.
Yeah.
Guess what, guys?
Yeah.
The pandemic
theaters
was
were empty.
A great time to go to the movies. And here's the thing. I was told that Hugh Jackman and Becky Fergs kiss, and they do.
Yeah.
And the movie is fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
That part is
great.
Good.
Yeah. I made a Letterboxd list that was films where Hugh Jackman is naturally obsessed with Rebecca Ferguson. And there's two films on the list, Reminiscence and The Greatest Showman.
Excellent.
A movie I haven't seen.
Greatest Showman?
Yeah.
This is the greatest
show. Yes, I know.
But this is the greatest show.
Yes,
this
I know. I have drama theater kids for friends. I've heard the whole fucking soundtrack multiple times.
I don't know how you feel about that movie. I think it's bad. I think it stinks.
Yeah, it's a poopy butthole. It's a poopy butthole faux show.
But it had legs.
Yeah, and they belong to Rebecca Ferguson.
Yeah. That's the thing. She's the only part of that movie I enjoyed, and she's in it like 10 minutes. And
isn't
I'm like,
she
that's...
weirdly dubbed in it?
Oh, maybe. She plays a singer.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I've never heard her sing for real, so I don't know if that was her real voice. That is
that's
her, though.
That's her.
Rogue Nation. So let's chat. I think this was one we did in the Cinepals years.
We have actually done a podcast on this movie before.
Oh, why don't you just re-release that?
Greg almost, he was like, it was for the commentaries. He's like, maybe when we get to Rogue Nation, I'll just release our commentary. I'm like, no, Greg, no.
This is the third podcast we have done on this film.
And not the last.
No. I guarantee we'll do another one.
But I think we saw it in Edmonton, did we not?
You know what? We saw this movie together
in
Edmonton.
In Edmonton
when
during
we
the
were like, during the Fringe, when we were like, and I remember both of our attitudes going in. It's like, there's no way this one's good.
Sure, yeah.
Well, because, like, well, we both had seen the Rotten Tomatoes score, and it was massively positive. And, and we were like, there's no way it's that good.
Yeah, that seems
weird. Yeah. And, like, the fact that they're doing Christopher McQuarrie is like, that's not Brad Bird. That's not even a J.J. Abrams. That's definitely not a John Woo or a De Palma.
Yeah.
This guy has never really directed anything I like.
He doesn't have an identity as much as
not at all.
At
so it felt like a distinctive step down when it turned out to be exactly what the franchise needed was a steady hand to guide it the rest of the way. Because surprise, surprise, the auteur behind these movies was never the director.
Tommy C, baby.
It's always been Tommy.
Yeah.
From the first one to now.
Yeah.
He's the guy who makes these movies happen. He's the guy who says yes to McHugh whenever McHugh wants to do something, or whenever Tom wants to do something. McHugh is the one who makes it happen in a story, in a coherent narrative.
Yes.
I want to go to space.
Yep. Okay, let's do it.
Let's make it happen.
Don't worry, Tom. I'm going to stay up all week and I'm going to write it for you.
Yeah.
and McHugh has, Tom Cruise has not worked on a movie without McQuarrie since Valkyrie.
Yeah.
I feel like Valkyrie because he was Bryan Singer's guy.
Yeah.
And McHugh works on Valkyrie, meets Tom Cruise on Valkyrie, and is either a ghostwriter or in the writer's room for every single movie that he does from then to now. And this is the first time that he gets a directing credit on a Tom Cruise movie, or is it Jack Reacher?
So,
which one comes first?
So Valkyrie's 2008. Mm-hmm. He does do Night and Day after that.
Mm-hmm.
Then Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol.
Mm-hmm.
Rock of Ages.
Okay, so he's not in...
not quite in the pocket yet.
Yeah.
Jack Reacher.
Okay, so...
Same year as Rock of Ages, 2012.
So Jack Reacher is the first time that McQuarrie gets the shot.
Because then it's Oblivion.
Yeah. And McQuarrie has...
McQuarrie's writing credit, I think?
Maybe not credited, but he's there.
Yeah. Edge of Tomorrow,
which we
talked about on this very podcast.
Yeah.
And then Rogue Nation, which we're talking about today. Jack Reacher, Never Go Back. I don't know about this one, Greg. The Mummy?
I think that's the time when Cruise was like, maybe I should
do the Dark Universe.
Maybe I can trust someone else with all of this.
And then he was proven
so wrong.
And so he's like, please take me back, Chris.
Yeah.
I thought that movie was fine.
Fine's a fine word for it. I can't disagree with that, but I also thought it was mostly bad.
I mean, I also haven't seen it since in theaters. And a lot of times theaters trick me.
That is fair, yeah. Seeing things on the big screen. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, there's nothing like it.
Yeah. Were you with some friends?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah. I was with my hubbin.
Yeah.
There you go.
We both had a good time. Yeah. I knew it was dog shit.
Yeah, but you can still have fun.
I had a great time. Yeah. I love watching shit movies in theaters.
Oh, so fun.
So good.
Especially when I can spend my scene points on them.
It's Morbin time.
Oh, yeah. We saw that in theaters.
Yeah,
Nobody else.
We saw Madame Web just a few days ago.
Woof.
And it was $4 to see it because it was Tuesday.
Where'd you see it?
At Crowfoot.
$4 on a Tuesday? $4.50.
What? That's movie mill pricing.
I know. I was like, I don't know if this is a new pricing or if it's just like, please come see this movie. Like, I honestly wasn't sure, but I'm like, I'm taking two tickets. Like,
we will pay you.
Yes.
Yeah. And we saw it with Selena and I saw it with Braden and Camille. Yeah, and they snuck in Wendy's for us.
Nice.
And that was the best part of the movie was the Wendy's burger.
Yeah, sure.
That we enjoyed while watching Madame Web.
Mm. Wait, it wasn't her having a premonition of a future movie that will never get made at the very end of that movie?
No.
No, it wasn't. Because that movie's shit. I saw the ending of that movie. I snuck into it after I saw Argyle Alone.
Oh, what a day for you.
It sucked. Turns out the real Agent Argyle wasn't the friends we made along the way. It was Bryce Dallas Howard.
It's very obvious.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Well. The way that they do it, I'm like...
I'm so glad you've seen this.
You were absolutely right. I should have saw it with somebody. Because then I wouldn't have had like any hesitation of screaming out, "Are you fucking kidding me?" With the way that that they reveal how Argyle is the name.
Your real name is Rachel Kyle.
Agent R. Kyle. Fuck you!
Fuck you!
The movie's not named Argyle.
No,
it's named Argyle.
Well, I don't know if you know,
here's the plot.
She creates a novelization of her spy past.
Okay.
She gets in an accident and gets amnesia, and she forgets that she's a super spy.
Okay.
And so a bunch of like evil agents come and like pretend that they're her parents, and so they can like incept her with bullshit to try and get her secrets as the spy villain. Of them. Mm-hmm. And anyway, through that, she starts to write novels about her spy past, not realizing it's her past, thinking it's just ideas she's coming up with. Mm-hmm. And so she names the agent in those books Argyle, which is, I guess, her name. Like, it's very silly.
Mm-hmm.
And also they make Henry Cavill look ugly, and I'll never forgive
him
for that. I know.
What did they do?
His hair.
What?
Yeah, it's
hair
not
looks
good.
Like shit.
It's not good.
Ugh.
Him and John Cena should have kissed.
Well, I mean, that's the movie I wanted to see. Like, the movie that they did was not the right movie. It's so weird.
Sam Rockwell's great.
He's fine.
I mean, he's always great.
He's doing his thing, I'm into that. Times. I would just have preferred it if the movie was about John Cena and Henry Cavill falling in love and Sam Rockwell's the dancing villain.
Yeah. Sounds
there
great.
You go.
Sweet.
You don't like have to get rid time. Of Sam Rockwell.
Only the twisted mind of Matthew Vaughn can come up with such a crazy concept. Yeah. That was basically the Long Kiss Goodnight. You ever see that movie?
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's basically the same plot.
Oh, great.
And it's even got Samuel Jackson in it. So,
yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. Gina Davis is basically a housewife or whatever. And then it's like, no, actually, you're a spy who forgot that you're a spy. And Sam Jackson is along for the ride. I can't remember why. He's the one who's like helping her.
I can't remember why he's in Argyle either. So
he was there for a day, it looked like.
I mean,
he's just hanging out. He's like, yeah, he's like, I will do it if I can watch the basketball game while we film.
That is probably his French
Literally,
villa.
He watches a basketball game.
He does.
In
it's
the
a
movie.
Lakers game. He's notoriously a Lakers fan.
Oh, he's just like clapping while like, you know, spy shit's happening on the other end of the world.
Yeah. They keep cutting back to him watching his Lakers game. Anyway, we're not here to talk about Argyle or Madam Web.
That's
although,
true.
Maybe we give this Sydney Sweeney kid a break for a bit.
Well, what do you mean, like stop casting her in things?
Just for a minute.
Well, there's one coming out right away. About
what is it?
A horny nun, so.
Oh!
Immaculate, it's called.
Great name.
Right?
What a great name. It's not a English remake of Benedetta, is it?
I don't think so. In fact, I say horny nun, but it might just because like it's Sydney Sweeney and everyone's horny for her.
I see.
What did I just say? Immaculate. Let me see what the actual. I've just seen the poster, and it might actually be a horror movie. Let's see. An American nun embarks on a new journey when she joins a remote convent in the Italian countryside. However, her warm welcome quickly turns into a living nightmare when she discovers her new home harbors a sinister secret and unspeakable horror. So it's more of a horror movie.
Okay.
But it's probably horny too.
One can only hope.
Yeah.
One can only hope.
She's not good in Madam Web.
No, I wouldn't imagine
nobody
she
is.
No,
so.
it's fine. It's not going to hurt anybody's career. Except for the people.
I'm pretty sure the villain's dialogue's all ADR.
Yeah, I've heard that.
It's very off-putting.
He was dead before I snuck in.
Yeah, he dies.
I assume he's dead.
He gets crushed by a Pepsi Cola sign. So
right, cute.
That movie's brought to you by Pepsi Cola.
Is it?
It sure is. It's prominent.
At the end,
the whole final
in...
battle is a giant Pepsi Cola neon sign that they're fighting on.
Got to get paid somehow.
Somebody
gotta
needs to make the movie.
That coin.
So we saw this movie, Rogue Nation.
Uncle Ben's in it.
He's Adam Scott. Anyway, we saw Rogue Nation in Edmonton, and we went in with pretty low expectations, and then the movie does the smartest thing in the world, which is open with the plane sequence.
Yes, that's okay. That's the other thing that I think we've talked about, but I'm going to reiterate it here, is that most of the advertising for that movie was centered around that stunt.
Yes.
Right? And I remember
and motorcycles.
Thinking,
it was that and motorcycles.
That and motorcycles. But I just remember very specifically, I think that's why my feelings going into it was very, like, not negative, but just like, probably not going to be great. Is because I've seen that stunt so many fucking times in the theater as, like, a preview. And I was just like, yeah, like, it's a cool stunt.
It is.
Can't deny it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have the same, like, Burj Khalifa feeling,
no,
right?
It doesn't.
And I was just like, if that's their biggest thing, might not be a great movie, guys. Mm-hmm. Like, but yeah, as you said, turns out that's just a little taste.
Yeah.
It's just a little taste of the beginning.
Yeah, it's like in Top Gun Maverick, where he becomes the fastest man alive in the first 10
that's right,
minutes
yeah.
of the movie.
And it's just like a, you know, it's just preamble. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's just
this
preamble.
Is,
here's what we're actually doing.
Like that part in Maverick and this plane stunt is not plot. It is character.
It's literally a cold open, essentially.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's telling you everything you need to know about Ethan Hunt and Maverick in Top Gun, because I think it's even better in Top Gun because of like the way that it introduces him, like when he gets to, I get a little bit emotional about it.
Well, especially because it's been so long since we've seen this character.
When he gets up to Mach 9 and 9.5, he's like, talk to me, Goose.
Goose. Yeah.
And like, it's
you know everything about you need to know about him, even if you haven't seen the first movie.
Yeah,
arguably.
Yeah.
And yeah, with this one, like obviously it's been 4 years since our last adventure with Ethan and Co.
Yeah.
But it is a good reintroduction of who's Ethan Hunt, why should we care, what's his deal, you know, because you have like the whole like, okay, there's a mission happening.
Mm-hmm. It brilliantly introduces the team too.
Yeah, we get the team before, long before we get Ethan,
and their functions, what their functions are going to be. Benji is going to be in the field.
Yes,
Luther is going to be somewhere.
He's the guy on the computer.
The point is, Luther's back.
Yes,
and then the brilliance of Mission Impossible 5. One of the most brilliant things is putting Brandt as the stuffed shirt in the office.
At the office, yes,
is so awesome. It's so awesome.
Bring back Brandt.
Yeah, hashtag bring back Brandt.
What happened to him?
Avengers.
I mean, he just got sucked into becoming Hawkeye. But
yeah, those movies and like Mission Impossible takes so long to film, right? I mean, like they were still filming it when they had to go back and reshoot Henry Cavill's beard in Justice League.
Mm. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then you get the the introduction of Ethan. Exactly
how
you want
it.
Him to be
running.
And doing something crazy that the team's like, hey, don't do this. You're a crazy guy.
I do remember watching this with you and both of us in the theater when he's like back on radio and he's like, I've got the package inside, open the door. And he's running in. We were both just like, yes, yes,
yes.
It's the movie gets you on its side immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately.
And even though like the kind of like button slash end of that sequence where he's tied himself to the is it warheads? I can't remember.
To the VX gas.
Yeah. And he does the
like
kind of
like
in the shrug rock. to the villain, right? Yeah. He's just like, sorry, this is what I do. Boom. And then he goes out the back. Is that when the theme kicks in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's so fucking good. Yeah, there it is. The Final Fantasy VII battle music kicks in. But yeah, so Allie, when did you see this movie for the first time? Was it in theaters? Do you remember?
Yeah, I think I saw it in theaters. I don't remember. Did I see it with you?
I don't know, because like we were up in Edmonton doing Fringe at the time.
Yeah.
I definitely saw it twice in theaters, so we might have seen it together.
I did see it in theaters. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
It was a nonstop thrill ride.
And you were an MI head before this as well, or... Would you say this converted you, or?
I was on board with 4.
Sure, yeah.
Well, I really enjoyed 1.
Yep.
And then I really enjoyed 2.
Hell yeah.
Now
I know why you want to hate me.
Like monkeys they are. They won't let go of one branch till they get a hold of the next.
I think you put more life into that line reading than Dougray Scott.
That was for Michael Rolfe. That was for Michael.
Yeah. And then I don't know if I ever saw 3. Mm. And then 4, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And like the new adult Allie with like discerning movie taste.
Uh-huh.
I cannot say that with a straight face. Was like, oh yeah, these are great action movies. So I was on board with 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then 5, I was like, yeah, give me more.
Yeah.
Give me more. Give me more. Give me more.
Mamma Mia, here we go again.
Yeah.
call back to another episode we did. yeah, and then it's just been the most excited I've been for movies ever since.
Ever since. Yeah. Yep.
Like, it's only been 2 after that so far, but...
They take so long to make.
So long to make.
So, wait, when did this one come out?
2015.
When did Fast 5 come out?
Ooh, great question. That seems like it was around the same time.
It does feel that way, doesn't it?
Because
but
I
it's
think
not.
Seven...
It's not. Because we weren't dating when Fast 5
no,
came
it's
out.
Yeah, it was much earlier. It was 2011.
Really?
That's why it's 2011, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. I would say I would...
Because I remember... I also saw Fast 5 in Edmonton.
So yeah. Furious 7 comes out the same year as this.
Okay.
There
okay.
we go.
Yeah. So I... Because I have adult discerning movie taste, I would say I was like... Mission Impossible became on par with like... the Fast series in terms of like movies that I got super jazzed
for. Oh yeah.
For.
Mm,
yeah.
And 4 was that for me in the same way Fast 5 was for
for that franchise. I feel like that's similar, except for me it was Furious 7 that got me on board with the Furious franchise, which is late. But I think I never saw Fast 5 in theaters, if I remember correctly.
You missed out.
I know. Like at the time, I was not. I think I had seen like at least two out of the four first ones, first four. And so when Fast 5 was coming out, I'm like, eh, like it's not my thing. Like I already realized it's not my thing. And then everyone was like, it's great, and I'm like,
sure.
Like I believe you. Like I'm sure it is great, but I'm not running to go see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I did see Furious 6. Not in theaters, but just like at home or something.
Fast and Furious 6.
Was it Fast and Furious 6?
It's called
Fast and Furious 6. I feel like they changed the title later on to Furious 6. But
no, they don't.
All right. All right, well, I didn't know you were the arbiter of...
because truly, of all 10 movies, they all have different namings. So there's Furious... There is not a Furious 6 and a Furious 7, because that would make too much sense.
I agree. Yeah.
There's a Fast and Furious 6. There's a Furious 7.
Yes.
There's a Fate of the Furious.
F9.
F9, the Fast Saga.
Fast X.
And then Fast X. As we all know. Yeah,
which is the closest to being the same. Fast 5 and Fast X.
Yes. Yeah. And they want you to remember it. Boy, howdy, do they want you to remember it. Too bad that movie sucks.
That movie's stinky.
That movie's stinky poop.
Stinky poo-poo.
I don't like any of it.
Yeah, I think it's all been downhill since.
Yeah, so it's
since
seven.
So, to my credit, Paul, Fast and Furious 6, original title Furious 6. So maybe that was like the working title while they were, and then when they released it was Fast and Furious. Anyway, so I saw Furious 7 in theaters and was like, "This is incredible."
Yeah. Yes,
I was so jazzed on it, and so we did a podcast on those three.
We called it the
Revisons. Yeah. Yes. And
we're very cute.
We are.
But yeah, that's what turned me around on the Furious franchise. And then F8, I was sour on. And then 9 ruled. And then 10 was kind of shitty. Yeah. So 11's got to be great by that by that logic.
Yes, it is. It is the odds.
Yeah. It is the odds, yeah.
It's although the reverse Star Wars. Star Trek
is better than I thought it was.
Tokyo Drift, or better than you thought.
Too fast than Too Furious.
Yeah.
First, you're too fast. But then you're too furious.
Too Fast, Too Furious, I watched the first time when Blank Check was doing their Singleton series.
Sure.
Because it's directed by John Singleton, and it's
insanely
wild.
Yeah, it's a wild movie.
It's a wild movie. Yeah, I think better than people give it credit. Otherwise...
Still not great.
Still not great, yeah.
No.
But yes, definitely better than it was like originally released as.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing that Tokyo Drift got a theatrical release.
Well, that's because Tokyo Drift is a perfect movie.
I guess so. I think the fact that Vin Diesel shows up at the end is the reason it gets a theatrical release.
Mm.
Like, he decides at the last moment to be like, sure, I'll drive in at the end.
Yeah, I'll be there, but only if we go back to the movies. The movies.
The movies.
Anyway.
Any shway.
Back to Mission Impossible.
Yes, back to the mission.
A franchise that has no bad movies. I'll say it.
Yeah. That's
Greg's blinking and thinking.
Every time I have to deal with this, I do have to reckon with two.
What are you talking about? Two no, is awesome.
I'm not done yet. I have to reckon with two in that it is objectively the worst of the series. However, in my life, has a movie at so many different times in my life ever brought me more joy, more pure escapism, more entertainment in a very important time of my life than Mission Impossible 2 and its orange and black DVD case with Tom Cruise and his sunglasses and his knife scar on his cheek. I remember
just explosions happening.
I remember everything about that movie. It was playing randomly in England on Film 4. And I was like, I'll watch the rest of this.
Yeah.
Of course.
Hell yeah.
And can I quote it to the letter?
Probably.
Of course. The last line of the movie is, let's get lost.
Ooh.
And then it pans out and they're getting lost in a festival in Sydney, Australia. It's so romantic.
That's pretty good.
Hey, hey,
come away, suka suka na na. So it's not a good movie, but it is a great movie.
It's, I mean, and we talked, I love that.
Yeah.
I feel like we talked about this in our commentary of it, but it's, for me, it's 2 and 3 are both on the lower end
yes.
of the franchise, only because the other ones are so high up.
Yes.
It would still be a well-regarded 3-part franchise if those were the only 3
Absolutely.
Movies.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Also, I was thinking, what if you swapped Dougray Scott and Philip Seymour Hoffman? Would 2 become the best one?
It might become the best one. With its focus
yeah.
on the villain, like
yeah.
how much it... That's the detriment to
that's
the movie. Like
the saddest
with
part
a
about
2. Discerning artistic mm-hmm. eye.
Yes.
Uh-huh. When you watch the movie...
I have one of those.
When you watch the movie at this point, you're just like, God, he's a flatline.
Yeah.
He sucks.
He's trying.
He's trying.
He's trying
and
his best.
That's the problem. You see him try.
Yeah.
You see him try so
he
hard.
He cries too much.
He does. He's a glassy-eyed man.
I want my
man.
Villains to cry.
No, no, no.
My
no,
heroes
no.
to
I
cry.
Want them to be, I want them to, my villains to be irredeemable men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. But so okay, so let's dive into this one a bit more.
Okay,
because we talked about the franchise enough, I think.
Yes, I think so.
So we have our main plot in this one is the Syndicate.
That's right, the Rogue Nation,
if you will, led by
Solomon Lane.
Solomon Lane,
what a great name.
Sean Harris,
played by a whispered Sean Harris,
the most whispery man in cinema.
You can do what you want to do. I will stop you, Ethan Hunt.
It's like I don't think he and Alec Baldwin have a scene together, and it's a good thing that they don't.
That's yeah. Sean Harris in this, because that's the thing. Like we've talked about the villains of the franchise. You know, we had, I think, a great. I mean, the first one is a bit unique in that the villain's a mystery,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not sure who the villain is, but on the reveal. It's, I think, a good villain.
Voight's
right?
great.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's fantastic.
2 has a bad villain.
Dud.
3 has an incredible villain.
Incredible.
Yeah. Maybe the best of the series.
Yep.
And then
maybe.
4 has not like a fine villain, I would say. Like
a perfunctory villain.
Blomqvist. Mikael Blomqvist.
He plays Cobalt.
What's he doing again?
He's
trying to get the briefcase so he can launch nukes.
He's got a real sum of all fears
yeah.
plot where he's like trying to launch a nuke against the
And that's the like parking garage fight?
Yes.
That,
yeah,
okay,
they
okay.
have the briefcase with
when
the
he goes mission
kill codes
accomplished
or whatever,
yeah. and it's so awesome.
You didn't actually say that, did you?
Yeah, I did. It's good Luther calls great. About on it.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, and he's got something for him in his pocket. It's the middle finger.
What a rascal.
Yeah,
but yeah, so like 4 works despite the villain being uninteresting as a villain. Like it's yeah. just because the plot of the villain is what works, right?
Yeah. And
we're focusing more on the team.
Yeah, that's the advantage 4 has is like they're so on the back foot that it doesn't really matter who the villain is.
Yeah.
But the wonderful thing that McQuarrie is so good at with his consecutive movies is tying it all in a bow. Is making all of the things, making this whole tapestry matter. Because Blomqvist, Cobalt's objective in 4 is the same objective that the prophets have in 6. Or the, what are they? The acolytes. John Lark. Mm. The same,
John Lark, yeah.
It's the same one
right,
that
the
they
same
have.
Kind of idea, yeah.
Yeah, and it stems from that. Like, first, for the greater the peace, the greater the suffering. Mm-hmm. And that's what Cobalt is like. He's bent on this, on nuclear annihilation because it will, like, because humans have gone to, like, a decadence and we have to
yeah.
start over at 0 and all that Fight Club shit.
And the thing is, him and Ethan don't really have a personal relationship.
They do not.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that's why when you bring Sean Harrison in this one, it starts out with Ethan being like, this fucking guy
yeah.
he makes
trapped
it personal.
Me in a box and gassed me.
Yeah.
How dare he?
How dare he?
So
I'm
now
Ethan Hunt.
I'm Ethan Hunt.
Yeah.
I'm still going to want to save the world.
Yeah.
But I specifically want to stop this motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna put him
in a box.
Ends is with you and me. I'm gonna put you in a box.
And man, does he deliver.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That ending.
Oh, so good.
Where the team all walk up and just like gloat. And he's like, you know, banging on the. Oh, he shoots the glass, you know. Ah, so fucking satisfying.
Yeah.
Love that shit.
It's the greatest. I think Mission Impossible Rogue Nation is my favorite. It's my favorite cruise performance, like just performance of the missions, because of how McQuarrie just instantly gets it. I love him in Fallout. I love how haunted he is in Fallout. I haven't really settled on where I am with him in Dead Reckoning, because it's smartly not really his movie.
That's the thing. Yeah.
So
this is, arguably this is the one that's the most his movie.
It is,
right?
In a way, like Fallout is very much his movie too, because it's like, it's kind of putting a bow on Ethan Hunt's story arc. But this one is him at like peak powers, and it starts at the very beginning. It's the Russian plane guy coming in and seeing him strapped to the VX nerve gas, and him being like, I guess this is what's happening.
Yeah.
Pulls the thing and just, ooh! He is the most Buster Keaton in this movie.
Yeah. That's true.
Than he is in any other.
The whole,
yeah.
That's what I was going to say. The whole sequence of him fumbling around, and you, because he's just been dead for a while.
Yeah. It's so funny.
It's so funny, but also like such a great way to have like him not be super spy, right?
Yeah.
Like still be super spy, but like give him a bit more like where you're watching and you're like, oh shit, is he gonna do this? Because like he's kind of fucked up right now.
Yeah. And it's our first introduction in the Mission Impossible universe to a McQuarrie car chase.
Yes.
Which, like, we're jumping around all over the place here, but that's totally fine. And after he gets brought back, the brilliant move of having him try and do the spy slide across the hood of the car and just
fall. Yeah.
Biff it. And I love that he allows Benji to be like, are you sure you want to do this? Yeah. You were dead a minute ago. I was like, what are you talking about? Get into the car and go. Now, the reason it's a McQuarrie car chase is because whilst they are in the car, the first act of this two-act car chase, there is no score.
That's right.
It is driven entirely by sound design. Something that he experiments with in Jack Reacher, he does in this movie, he perfects in Fallout, and then somehow does it even better in Dead Reckoning.
Yeah.
Because in Dead Reckoning, he allows the car chase to have, I want to say, three full acts.
This is the little mini car, right?
Yes. Well, the car chase happens before the mini car.
Okay.
You know, it starts on a motorcycle.
That's right.
It starts with Cruise chasing Atwell.
That's right.
And then they're in the BMW together, right? And then, only then, do they ditch the BMW. They got to ditch this car. And they find the Fiat.
Yes.
There's their three acts of the car chase.
That's great.
And it's only after the Spanish steps. It's only after the Spanish steps.
Do you want to watch that after this?
I would love to. I would love to. movie's great.
Not on the list.
Huh?
It's not on the
list. No, it can't be on the list.
Dead Reckoning Part 1?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's in the 2020s. It'll be on the 2020 list.
It will be on the 2020 list.
I will make sure it's on it.
Yeah.
Just remember, I'm the one who compiles all these scores. So.
Interesting.
So, yes, I do love his Buster Keaton. And during the opera sequence, something we should talk about entirely on its own, where he like allows himself to like be beaten up and like look small to this guy, and like it's the whole like, oh, I don't know, because Ali and I just saw The General.
In
the Buster Keaton film The General.
Gotcha. Yeah, sorry, that was like a new movie
at a film at a cinema in London.
Nice.
And it was really fun to watch Buster Keaton act with his face,
yeah,
because he's
so much of like a wide-eyed, like he acts with his eyes, he acts with his like nose, and he can't believe that he survives a lot of these stunts, and neither can
I. Is that the one with the house, or is that a different one?
That's a different one. All right. This is the general's the one with the train.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where cool. It's the one that Dead Reckoning does.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't really watched much Buster Keaton. I've seen a bunch of Charlie Chaplin. Which,
Sherlock
Jr.,
I will say, is much better than the general.
Cool. Mm.
Just in its, like, in what it
was that the other one you watched? Like, was it a double feature? Or?
No, we just watched the general, but I'd seen Sherlock Jr. before that.
Gotcha.
Because it was free on YouTube. Nice. And why not?
Yeah, I think a lot of his movies are, because they're in public domain.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
But the restoration of this one and, like, the score that they had to it was just lovely. It was
cool.
It was lovely. Mm-hmm. Not enough stunts in the general. That was my biggest problem with it. Was the lack of like impressive stuff. Like everything with him running across a train is really impressive because it's a moving train and like anyone doing that, like I'm obviously going to be impressed by that. But I'm kind of like, well, let's get off this train.
Yeah. Also, why'd you choose to make yourself a Confederate soldier?
It's weird you did that, Buster.
Weird. Why'd you pick that one?
Why did you do that? You're not from there.
No. Nope.
Why did you do that?
Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
So let's talk. I want to talk the opera sequence, but I think a good way to talk about that is talk about Becky Ferg's.
Mm-hmm.
So she. This is my first introduction to her.
Mm-hmm.
Was seeing this movie.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I don't know. I'd have to check what her filmography is before this, but. I think one could argue the world was introduced to her with this movie, and we thank Christopher McQuarrie and Tom Cruise for that.
Yes, thank you very much, guys.
And like the way they introduce her is in the opera scene with that yellow dress.
That's not the way they introduce her.
Oh, well, when did she get introduced?
She gets introduced whilst
captured. When he's captured. Fuck. I honestly forgot about that
they
sequence.
They fight
Let's
together.
Talk about that
actually
so
has
good.
One
part
of his
so good.
Most impressive stunts.
Such
when
an
he jumps over the fucking
oh my
pole.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, God.
That was in. Was that around the time when like Arrow was out and everyone was doing the like the like pull up jumps?
The jump pull-ups.
I have never seen Arrow. So
no?
I don't know. It was like that era. I think it was Arrow, and then there was like another superhero like TV show where it was like the American Ninja Warrior where you have to do a pull-up bar and then raise the bar up a ladder. Do you know what I'm
talking
about?
Oh, I know what you're talking about for American Ninja Warrior. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so you have to do that. And so this just seems like that, but
it seems similar,
way cooler.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I don't know. It was a weird phenomenon where that was just a thing that was happening on screens.
Yeah.
Right, because he's captured at the beginning
he
of this
is.
Movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, after the cold open.
He lets his little, tiny body do a lot of that work. Because, like, if you're, like, 2 inches taller, you can't do that. You just, physics doesn't allow you to do that.
Yeah, yeah. I want to say, because normally for these podcasts I will watch the movie right before we do it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't this time, A, because of time, B, because I've seen it a million times.
Yeah, a million times.
So apologies, you know, and I told Greg this too. I'm like, I kind of want to rewatch it anyway because I want to remember which bits are in this one, because the McQuarrie era especially all kind of like bleed together as just like one big narrative, and so I forget which ones are in which movie.
Which is incredible because they're not.
No.
But also like they're consistent, but also they're not because he uses different DPs.
It's true.
On every
they
movie.
Have a different look. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that intro of Rebecca Ferguson, I think so my memory is she's introduced in that scene, but she becomes Rebecca Ferguson movie star in the opera scene.
It is. Yes. Yeah. She is an absolute bombshell movie star in that sequence.
And I love because I also just love the idea because they've already done this a little bit in previous iterations of, Mission Impossible, where it's a possible romantic interest for Ethan Hunt, and you're like, oh well, is it gonna go sideways? Is it gonna be bad? And you kind of think that with Ilsa throughout this movie, right? You're like, is she on the level? Is she actually gonna be an ally, or is she gonna turn out to be an enemy? Because that's either way is plausible throughout the movie, right? Because of the way they write her, because she's working with MI6? Is that right?
Yep. Well, she's...
Allegedly.
She's working with the Syndicate, and she's a double agent with MI6.
That's
she's
what it is, yeah.
embedded in there until Simon McBurney wipes her identity.
That's right. With his little newspaper
His little
thing.
Yeah, his newspaper device.
Yeah.
Oh, that Simon McBurney.
No.
You should never trust Simon McBurney.
Especially at the end.
Yeah.
Because it's not him.
No. He's made you his mission.
That's right.
Sorry, I have been quiet for the last moments because I was trying to figure out what the first thing I saw Rebecca Ferguson is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the 2014 Hercules movie starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, she's in that?
Really?
Yes.
Damn it, I gotta watch that now. Fuck.
Wow. Well, thank you, Brett Ratner, I guess.
I don't know if we
and
ever
then she
say
was
that.
In she was in the White Queen
before that.
Stars series before that, I think.
Okay.
She started, and
yeah,
she's
never seen
she won a Globe
too.
For that.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But I didn't start watching that until afterwards.
Gotcha.
Yeah. A good series.
Yeah.
That actually gets worse when after.
Yes.
But still good.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's part of the like Philippa
Gregory
verse.
Philippa Gregory verse.
Yeah.
I never really even heard of the White Queen, to be honest.
Semi-romantic
historical
fiction.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's about the War of the Roses.
Yeah. But yeah, so to be clear, her career basically starts with, I mean, arguably Hercules is her first big movie, but that movie is a flop, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is kind of her first successful blockbuster.
As oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Huge
movie for her.
Mm-hmm. Big
yeah.
time.
And then she does Despite the Falling Snow, which I've never heard of. She does Florence Foster Jenkins, which looks like a nightmare to watch. The Girl on the Train. Is she the girl?
She's not.
She's the train?
She's the train.
I think Emily Blunt is the girl and Rebecca Ferguson is the train.
Good, perfect.
Choo-choo.
Oh, yeah, she's in The Snowman.
She sure is.
I forgot about that.
She gets murdered hard.
Oh, boy, what a movie.
What a terrible movie that was.
Hey.
What?
Oh, she was also in that weird movie Life, that like space movie with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I also never saw that.
Really?
Yeah. Any good?
It's yucky.
Oh, really? Didn't that come out? I feel like that came out on the same time that like that Cloverfield sequel came out. That was also in space.
The Cloverfield Paradox?
Was that what it was called? Yeah.
I said the Cloverfield.
Definitely wasn't called that.
No.
But it might have been called the Cloverfield Paradox.
Yes, I think you're right.
And so I think I always mix those two up in my brain. Anyway. And then Greatest Showman, of course. This is the greatest show.
Mm-hmm.
Mission Impossible Fallout. Doctor Sleep. She's Rose the Hatch.
Oh,
so good.
My God.
She's so good in that
I still
movie.
Haven't seen it.
Oh,
what
my God.
About, Alan?
Alan, you need
it's
to
on my,
see it.
It's on my, like, it's before... right there ready to. It's just, it's a long one. And I know I want to, like, sit and watch it. I don't want to watch it while working. And, like, anyway. It's one I really want to watch.
It's
especially because I got into the Flanagan miniseries shows finally.
Which one?
Like I finished both the first two, the two haunting ones, right?
Uh-huh.
I finished both those and Midnight Mass is next. So
okay.
I'm really like all in on Flanagan now. So I gotta watch Doctor Sleep now.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, that's great.
You gotta watch her. She should have an Oscar.
It's so good.
Yeah.
For that. She's incredible.
She's also in The Kid Who Would Be King, an underrated film in my opinion,
and she's
what
good.
It's oh, have you not seen it?
No,
I think you'd really like it. It's kind of a King Arthur retelling, but with little kids. It's like kind of a Goonies, you know, like that kind of like adventure movie.
You're really not selling me on it.
I don't. I've never seen Goonies, so I. But just like the vibe of like, you know, that I feel like there was other examples of like that era of filmmaking where it's like a group of kids who go on an adventure.
Yeah, like a Richie Rich.
You guys are not selling me on this movie.
Like a Hook.
Getting closer.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Like an Angels in the Outfield.
What's a movie
a
with
a bit of a step back?
Uh-huh. What's a movie with little kids that you like? They're none. Do you hate children?
Little
okay.
Spies.
I've never seen that.
It is like Little Spies.
It's like Little Spies, but King Arthur.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Sure.
Anyway, I think it's really cute.
Sure.
She plays Morgana. Patrick Stewart plays Merlin.
Honestly,
oh, okay.
Both of those lazy casting choices, but great.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
And it's by Joe Cornish, who did Attack the Block. I don't know if you ever saw that movie. That's a really good movie. Anyway, it was this like underrated little movie that was a huge flop, and so no one talks about it. Anyway, but she plays Morgana, and she's good in it. And then she does Reminiscence and Dune and Dead Reckoning and Dune. That's all we got so far. She also was on TV. She did Silo.
Silo's great.
Silo's good. She's so good.
I thought
good
it was fine.
Silo. She's so good. In
she's
it,
so good.
It's it is fine.
It's the only reason I watch it, and yeah. I thought it was fine by yeah. the end. And it was one of those things where I'm like, I'm in. Like after the first episode, I'm like, what interesting mysteries will this unravel? Mm-hmm. And like nothing really gets unraveled, yeah. and then the end is just like,
well, this yeah, should well, have been the end of the first episode.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, okay, well.
Well, if you're gonna make a two-part series premiere,
yeah.
have that be the
exactly.
have the mystery be the first episode,
mm-hmm.
the murder mystery,
yep.
and then fucking leave.
Yeah, get out of there.
In the
yeah.
second episode,
because clearly there's more to uncover. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
Although I read I was like, oh, I gotta know what happens next. It got me. So I read I read the first two books, and the second book is not very interesting.
Oh, really? Yeah. No. Maybe that's why they did it then. They're like, you know, the first book's exciting.
Yeah.
The second one's not great, so let's just do the first in case we don't get another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but then I think it did get greenlit for a second
season.
And
he's very involved. The writer is very involved with the series, so...
Fun. Apple TV Plus.
Yeah. Is it boring? Or just not interesting?
I don't know.
Like, I read a little bit about it because I too, after it was done, I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever watch the second season if they release it. So I'll just see what happens in the, like, just read a synopsis of the books. And
if she's in it, I'm watching it.
Well, yeah.
I mean, the character's there.
Yeah.
It just seems I don't even particularly like the character. I just really like her.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I'm assuming she will continue to play the same character.
Mm.
You never know.
She'll probably be.
Maybe she'll.
Rebecca Ferguson will be present.
The what?
Maybe she'll Allie Larder it.
Oh, yeah.
Is Allie Larder not... does she play a different character?
Yes, she plays, like, quadruplets.
Yeah. That's really weird.
That show's dumb.
You know what's dumb? Heroes.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll Orphan Black it.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh, I'm listening.
I'm more interested in that. For some reason.
I mean, legitimately, if you cast the TV show Silo and had Rebecca Ferguson play all of the parts, I'd be like, yeah, this is great.
That's great. Good. Good.
I'm in.
And the mystery is that?
Yeah, why are they all look the same?
That's crazy.
Sure.
Maybe that's season two. They open a silo and it's all her. Cool.
Yeah. It's just like Fallout vaults.
Yeah.
And fucking, that way we don't have to have Common in it.
Yeah, he's kind of a dud.
Stinking up the screen. I couldn't get over it.
They had David Oyelowo there.
He's right there.
Yeah.
They just kill him off so early.
What a waste. Yeah.
And I couldn't get over it. I can't remember what movie it was, but I was watching a movie with Braden, and it had Common in it.
John Wick Chapter 2.
And it wasn't that, because he's good in John Wick Chapter 2. Yeah. And it's the only movie he's good in, I think. And Braden was just like, he did his thing. He said his catchphrase, "Wow, acting's hard." And I'm like, what do you mean? And it was probably Silo. It was honestly probably Silo. And he's like, he's just not very good, is he? And I just couldn't stop looking at how hard Common was trying. You can't try that hard.
Nah.
When you're on film, you just can't. It's got to be effortless, like Tom Cruise.
Yeah. So effortless.
Yeah.
Everything's effortless for him.
Yeah.
Unless he's just been dead.
Unless he's just been dead, or he's hanging onto the side of a plane, and he wants you to believe that it's hard, because that looks hard.
Yes,
they had to invent lenses, contact lenses for him, so he could keep his eyes open.
Yeah, shit.
So my biggest complaint about this movie,
it's not long enough.
That's a secondary complaint. The first one is that Ethan Hunt and Ilsa don't kiss.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all.
Ever.
No.
They've never kissed.
They've never kissed, and they should. And I would like them to, and please bring her back.
I would also like that. I don't care if it undervalues the moment.
Doesn't matter. Bring her back.
Gotta bring her back.
Somehow, Ilsa has survived. Yeah. That's fine.
That's fine.
Have Oscar Isaac deliver it.
Isn't he in the next one?
Is he? That sounds great.
He could do it. He could do it. You have him on set. Somehow, Ilsa Faust returned, and that's it. That's all he needs to say. You can have him in the X-Wing uniform if you want to. I don't care. No one comment on it, and then just move on.
Just move on. She's back. It's fine. They'll kiss at the end.
She is listed on as being attached to Dead Reckoning.
I think,
too.
Yeah, and I think that either like now, maybe it might be flashbacks. They might bring her back. I don't know. Like it seems pretty definitive in the movie that she's dead. But
I just don't understand why you would do a fake out death at the beginning of the movie.
That's exactly what I thought when I first saw it. I was like, yeah, why do that and then have her die for real? That just feels like they're teasing it. Like they're being like, it's actually another fake out, but I don't know.
McQuarrie's playing four-dimensional chess just like Ethan is. He knows what he's doing, yeah. Uh-huh. He's playing four-dimensional chess with the entity. In this case, we are the entity. Yes. We are the audience.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that, if anything, she's credited because they filmed it back-to-back.
Yeah.
And so...
More or less.
Yeah. And so I think that that might just be a remnant of that, and because I don't know if they've actually announced officially the cast list. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
they haven't. Mm-hmm. They haven't even announced the title.
That's right. They still haven't announced the title. They're dropping the part one. Right now it's just Mission Impossible 8.
Maybe it's going to be called Part 2, Dead Reckoning.
I think we talked about this. Sorry.
No. That's what the movie's going to be called.
Right.
Mission Impossible Part 2, Dead Reckoning.
Dead Reckoning. Instead of Dead Reckoning Part 1. Yeah. Okay.
You put part two first. Mm. Doesn't that make sense?
No.
No, it doesn't. It's stupid. Sucks. You shouldn't have done it. You should listen to our podcast because I was right all along, McHugh.
Listen up, Tom.
I do know that he jumps off of a biplane at some point because we all had a great summer when he did that.
Hell yeah.
What if is Mission Impossible Reckoning?
Oh.
Drop the dead. It's cleaner.
Undead.
Like Ilsa Faust.
Ba, Ilsa ba, ba, Faust, ba, ba. Undead Reckoning. What is it called? Mission Impossible, Ilsa Faust.
I'm in.
Yeah. That
sounds great.
I'm in. It's all from her point of view and how she faked her own death.
Hell yeah. Get McQuarrie on the line.
So the opera sequence, the best spy shit that the series has ever done.
And also just like, it's our first Benji in the field, right? I mean, arguably at the beginning, he's a bit
four, he's in the field the whole time.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Yeah. That's the, I keep mixing them up. Mm-hmm. Four is when he's like, yeah, I'm finally got my field
I
agent
the
thing.
Field
yeah,
exam.
Yeah.
Look at me. That's I'm right, like that's you. Right. You're not.
But no, what it is that he's kind of going against the IMF.
That's right.
At the opera. Mm-hmm.
Well, the CIA.
Unknowingly.
Because the IMF
has been
shuttered.
They've been, yeah. Mm-hmm. Unknowingly going against the CIA because he's just like, oh, I want a trip to the opera. That sounds nice.
Not suspicious at all.
And then Ethan's like, hi, actually,
country.
It's me.
Like,
yeah.
Italy. We go to Italy to watch Turandot.
For this contest that he didn't.
Yeah, he probably didn't enter.
Weird. And you're a spy? Okay.
Great.
So,
sure.
This is the sequence that we get Rebecca Ferguson, movie star.
Yes.
We get gadgets, 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 hell gadgets, yeah, gadgets. Yeah. Everyone's pulling out guns from other places. Every instrument is a gun. The flute sniper rifle is amazing.
The glasses are a computer.
The glasses are a computer. The magazine, the program is a laptop.
Yes. Yeah. So good.
There is a little box. A little smartphone that he sticks into a keyhole and it becomes the key.
Yeah. Yep. Pretty cool.
It's all good.
All good spy shit. And then you also have brilliant visual storytelling with the notes circled in red.
Yeah. The notes circled in red. This is when it has to happen.
Yep.
Masundorma.
Endo culo chile. Minugo plencho. I don't know any Italian.
And we also get another wonderful example of no one in Hollywood knowing how theater works. I love it. They kill the stage managers.
And everything's fine?
And everything's
fine. What are you talking
just, like,
about?
Battling on the flies? Like, no. Like, someone would be like, there's dudes up there.
Yeah.
You can't do the set
also,
flies anymore.
Also, the weight anymore. Balance is wrong here.
But it's fine.
I love it.
Because the sequence is so good.
Yep.
So good.
And it turned out it was redundancies upon redundancies. It didn't matter if he got out of there alive because he was leaving dead no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get another wonderful stunt with them jumping off of the building.
Mm-hmm.
She has to hand him her shoes.
Yeah. Shoes.
That's cute.
Shoes, please.
Shoes.
I love that.
That's so good.
It's a great moment.
Yeah.
They have such good chemistry. They should kiss.
They do.
Oh my gosh.
I wish they would.
Yeah.
I wish they would.
But Ethan's broken.
Ethan is broken. He can't love again.
Yes.
He won't.
We understand that, but that was just my hope for the sending Ethan off was like, maybe he'll actually be able to be happy.
Like Batman.
Like Batman.
Yeah, and Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good ending.
Arthur? You know, Arthur from the Batman universe.
Yeah, yeah.
Will raise his glass.
Arthur? You mean Alfred.
Yeah, I don't know why I said Arthur.
It's fine.
Alfred.
They're both English names.
Is his name Arthur? Is Michael Caine's name Arthur in one of the Nolan movies, maybe?
I think it's Tenet.
Yeah. Maybe I think that's why brain just like merged in the wrong way. Anyway.
No, it's not. It's not.
Oh, you know what? It's
Arthur is
Joseph Gordon-Levitt's
Joseph Gordon
character
Levitt.
In Inception is Arthur. Yeah.
Because his name is Michael in Tenet.
Wow.
Because John David Washington says, well, thank you, goodbye, Sir Michael. Mm. And
so is he playing Michael Caine?
He's playing a rich Englishman.
So it could be Michael Caine.
Could be Michael Caine.
He's playing himself. It's a weird choice. Anyway, so opera scene's great. The motorcycle chase. Also the tank right before that, right?
Where we got to talk about the water tank.
Yeah, where he has to go and hold his breath for, what is it, 5 minutes?
Oh, 5 minutes.
Something
God.
Insane.
Oh, yeah. My God.
It has to, oh, man. Okay. And, like, I get, I don't know about you guys, I get, like, stressed out in movies the most with underwater shit.
Sure.
Yes.
Drowning's my biggest fear for whatever reason. I don't know. It just, you know, like in Prestige, it's agony.
Yeah.
Speaking of Michael Caine. But so the way they shoot that scene where, A, we know it's going to be, they need to go fast, right? That's the whole point. It needs to be done quick. Not only because, like, he can only hold his breath for so long, but also because Benji's doing the walk thing.
They'll
right?
kill Benji.
They'll kill Benji. He's got, he pulls out the thing. Oh. He's got the other one that he needs to put in, and he gets bonked. He catches them both. He doesn't know which one's which anymore. He just has to gamble.
50-50 shot.
50-50 shot. He puts one in, it works, but then
he doesn't know.
Losing air.
And he doesn't know,
he doesn't
if, it
know
worked
if it worked. But he's losing air. He passes out.
Yeah.
Ilsa has to go in and save. It's such a good fucking sequence. I'm just describing it now because it's so good.
It's a great sequence, but I do think it underlies a small problem that I do have with some of Macquarie's choices that start here and carry over all the way to Dead Reckoning Part 1. And it is when he's doing a stunt, he does have a tendency to overuse CG to enhance the situation that almost makes the stunt less impressive.
Okay.
What's on screen. Yeah. Because the environment that Ethan is in is so augmented by computer generated imagery, it takes away from the fact that the fucking guy's holding his breath.
Yeah.
And this carries over to Fallout in the Halo jump sequence, where because there's so much thunder and lightning and they're falling through a storm, it takes away from the fact that he and
stunt,
a guy are falling through the air.
Guy.
Definitely Henry Cavill.
Definitely Henry Cavill are falling through the air together.
For real.
For real.
Yeah.
And he's doing all of this choreography for real. Like, that's I think that's an issue. And I think Dead Reckoning is like, it almost gets away with it, but the jump off of the mountain is so clearly a ramp that is is computer generated. I just don't like, I think they weren't quite done with the plating on that mountain ramp. And it just doesn't look quite right to me.
That's fair. I think it's a fair point because I do think all
those
things.
I think Dead Reckoning gets away with it more because it's just a ramp.
Yeah.
You're just like, no, he's fucking jumping off of it. It doesn't matter if it's a ramp or a bunch of rocks.
Yeah, he's still doing it.
He's doing that.
I feel like all three examples you listed, I honestly forget or don't even think about the fact that it's a real stunt. So I think it's a fair point, but I also, it's not as important to me. If I know if it's real or not.
And it's why it's
sense.
A nitpick.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Like, I just think they look really cool no matter what. But it is cool. Like, I always forget
Because the ones
that
Halo
jump's real, like, yeah, you know, like
the one that I think of is like the ones that I'm like the ones that are unquestionably real are the ones that really hit me the most. The plane. Mm. Holy shit.
Burj Khalifa.
The Burj. Oh my God.
Mountain climbing in two.
Mountain climbing. Oh, yeah. Mountain climbing in two is very impressive.
Yeah.
And then of course in Fallout, helicopter.
Yeah.
Helicopter is shot
pretty
in
cool.
broad daylight.
Yeah, pretty damn cool.
In IMAX. And you're just like, holy shit.
Man.
Like when he falls from the rung from the rails of the helicopter onto the mm-hmm. payload oh. below. You're just like, oh, Tom, no.
we lost him that day.
The stuff of legend is the stuff where I'm like, where I physically have a reaction and am worried for his safety. And the more CG you put on there, the less worried I get about his safety, even though he could have gone splat in the Halo jump.
Yeah.
Well, and Rogue Nation's the one where he breaks his ankle, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, when Fallout is.
Is that Fallout?
Fallout
where he's running
is.
On the building?
Oh, yeah. And it's the...
Going to the tape.
Yeah.
It's in jumping out a window.
It's in the take. You see it.
Yeah.
You see him limp off because he's great.
Right, that because he's chasing...
But this isn't a podcast about Fallout.
No. And we probably won't ever
we'll
do
never
one
do a podcast about Fallout ever again.
Ever again. Why would we?
That would be crazy.
We've done it at least once already.
Yeah, we've done it once. There's no way we do it a second or third time.
Oh,
that
craziness.
Would be wild.
That'd be so weird. Anyway. Any other final thoughts about Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation?
Ellie?
We didn't talk enough about Sean Harris, I think. But
no,
I think,
we didn't.
I think
Sean
that,
Harris is great.
Yeah,
I think
we
he
all
could
agree.
Be named better.
Yeah, you don't like Rogue Nation?
No.
What do you got?
I don't know.
Syndicate.
The Syndicate?
Yeah.
Mission Impossible, Syndicate.
Yeah.
It's a good name.
I do.
Sounds a little too much like a video game.
The You're thing right. I like about the Mission Impossible naming schemes is that they are generic until you watch the movie, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Syndicate would be too much of a, like, oh, it's about the Syndicate. I mean, obviously that's like a word that can be used in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a pretty, like, when it's a spy movie, it's like, oh, it's got to be a, you know, an evil spy organization. Rogue Nation, you hear that, and I'm like, what's the nation? Is it a...
It's a nation of rogues.
It's a nation of rogues?
Yeah.
Is it a... Is
Sneak
it...
attack.
But yeah, I mean, it's I don't disagree. It's not the best of the titles.
Yeah.
But
Ghost Protocol, excellent.
Ghost Protocol is such a good title.
Such a good name.
Yeah.
Fallout,
Fallout's a great title.
Yeah.
Dead Reckoning, cool as hell.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Dead Reckoning is the one where you're just like, why is it called that?
Doesn't matter.
And then it tells you why,
like,
it's
right
called
in the
that
beginning.
In the beginning of
like, here
the
we are
movie.
At Dead Reckoning. You're like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
Great.
Yeah. We are at this location by Dead Reckoning. And then you're like, but why is that so important?
Oh!
It's good.
Yes.
Good really
shit.
Good.
It's good shit.
I think this...
Wait. Baldwin.
Oh.
Oh!
We gotta talk.
Gotta talk.
We gotta talk. Director.
I feel like I want to
director Attlee.
Talk.
No.
Talk about them. I want to pull up this.
You gotta pull it up. Yeah, I know what you're doing, yeah, and it's the right thing to do. The sequence where Ethan infiltrates them.
Yeah.
And we have.
Yeah.
We have Simon McBurney.
Yeah.
We have Tom Hollander as the British Prime Minister. Incredible casting.
Oh yeah.
And we have Jeremy Renner, who is, you might think he's in on it, you might think he's not, who knows, and we have Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
Hunt is uniquely trained and highly motivated, a specialist without equal, immune to any countermeasures. There is no secret he cannot extract, no security he cannot breach, no person he cannot become. He has most likely anticipated this very conversation and is waiting to strike in whatever direction we move. Sir, Hunt is the living manifestation of destiny, and he has made you his mission. Just fucking incredible. I got chills when I saw that for the first time.
Yes.
And you're like, how are you doing this? The
on
the
paper,
words
that sounds like a shitty
yeah
like spy yep movie bullshit that like would sound awful.
Yeah, Baldwin mm-hmm makes it
Baldwin
sing
makes it work so fucking yeah
so good.
Yeah, and just the reveal when he pulls the mask off and the in what is maybe Oh, but the one in Dead Reckoning. It's one of it's up to that point, so my favorite mask reveal.
Yes.
And he says, of course,
hunt.
Hunt.
Like he's taking a bite out of it.
I remember seeing for the first time when he does that speech, I was like, that's gotta be Ethan Hunt. Yeah. Like Alec Baldwin's Ethan Hunt. And then it wasn't, and I was like, oh shit.
Yes,
they got me.
That's what I thought as well. Yeah.
Like, there's no way he'd be talking about Ethan that way.
Yeah.
It's him talking about himself. But nope.
Oh, he knows what he's taking a bite. It is. Oh, God. My favorite mask reveal at this point is at the beginning of Dead Reckoning. When he blows up the room and
talks to
Zerny. He's got those cool glasses on.
Little goggles.
Yeah. And he's like, I can understand you're very upset. Mm-hmm. And... Hunt is like, I'm not upset, Kittredge.
You haven't seen me upset.
I'm listening. You wanted me to listen? This is me listening.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
The green gas.
The green gas is awesome because it's a quick dispersal and a quick it clears quickly too.
Even just there's all these suits talking in the room, and then you know, like he gets the little thing and he's like, and it's like, put this on or whatever, right? And he looks up at the guy and he's wearing it and he's like, oh shit. And as he's throwing the little bombs, he puts it in just in time. Ah, it's so good.
It's so good.
He's got my boy Cary Elwes.
It does have Cary Elwes in it. Yeah he's very good in that scene.
And what's his name,
Charles Parnell, right? Mark Gatiss.
Just a who's who of fucking stodgy old stuffed shirts. Love it.
Oh, I can't remember her name, but she's in Game of Thrones, Indra.
Yes.
Her name is Indra something, yes. I think. And she's fucking
great. Oh,
is she
great. The Illyria Sand?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And she's also in season one of Luther, and she's so good in season one of Luther.
Sounds like I gotta watch Luther.
Luther's fun.
I've been rewatching House. Good.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
How's that going?
I started with The Mentalist because I was sick one day and was like, well, what's this? And then I was like, nah, it's not good. And then I started watching Bones and I was like, nah, it's too sad. And now House.
He's a grump.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a grump.
I actually rewatched House recently, like last year. Mm. I was really enjoying it.
It gets bad.
It gets really bad. The last couple seasons are pretty... Well, basically, and I think the final season they get rid of Cuddy, right? Like, as a cast member.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's gone.
What? Why?
Well, have you seen the series before? Do you want me to spoil plot points? Do you care?
No, I don't care. Tell me.
Basically, her and House start dating for real, and then he becomes too... It's always very confusing. I'm like, either he goes back on drugs or does something... Anyway, basically it becomes a point where she's like, I can't be with you anymore.
I understand.
And he becomes so despondent and so angry that he drives his car into her house.
Okay.
And he goes
to
jail. and then she like resigns or whatever or gets a new job somewhere else or whatever, and then Foreman takes over as director of the hospital.
I see.
Easiest but basically... job in show business, Omar Epps.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically the final season, I think it is, without Lisa Edelstein.
Yeah, that's her name.
Yeah, is just you can feel it immediately. It's like she's holding that whole show together, in my opinion.
Mm. That was the moment that Braden was like, yeah, the show jumps the shark very clearly.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, why are we talking about House? Not that I mind. I'm trying to go back to like, were we talking about something else we need to close the loop on? But probably not.
No.
Just talking about shows that we were watching, I guess.
Great.
Yeah.
Love shows.
Yeah. Great. And I love
What's
this
your
movie.
Favorite Mission Impossible mask reveal?
Oh, yeah. That's...
I mean, that one's very good, but I think the Fallout one with Benji as Lane is pretty high up there, because it was one I did not see coming.
We also get the first F-bomb that sequence.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
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 Man, I mean, honestly, 2 has a really good one.
Which one?
The one with the pinky.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where Hans Zimmer's score goes full melodrama.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
A good Hans Zimmer score.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest, it's...
It's so good, but I can't help but laugh at it. It's so weird.
When
it's
he's
so
riding the worm, I'm just like, bring it in. Yes.
Oh, hell yeah. Fuck that sequence.
That's the first time it comes in.
Is it?
In part 2, yeah. So he uses it very sparingly.
Good for him.
And I the
I
whole
mean, even in part one, it's arguably like that bit is sparing, but
the
it's
whole
just
score is
iconic now.
In part two is toned down, in a major way, in a way that's like we're using a lot more wind chimes and windy instruments,
whispers. Check out Dune Part 2 in theaters now. Let's get those butts in seats. Let's give Villeneuve the blockbuster he deserves.
Let's give him a Messiah.
Let's give him Messiah. That's right. That he'll make in 5 years.
That'd be great.
Maybe
Chalamet will look a little older.
Less like a little baby boy.
Yeah, that would be good.
Maybe his voice will drop a bit.
I doubt it. because Alan and I have been on about this, and he's going to be twee until he's 40.
Yeah. He's a little twink. Yeah.
And then he's going to age.
Then he's just going to look like a tired baby.
Yeah. He's going to have the Michael Cera problem.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. Or the Haley Joel Osment.
Oh yeah,
right,
yeah.
Who I like in his new, in his more adult era.
Chalamet.
I just watched a show with him in it.
Silicon Valley.
No,
okay. He's in that.
It was with Josh Hutcherson.
Oh,
where he's time traveling.
Oh, isn't it called just like the Time Man or something something Man?
Time Man.
Time.
It's something like that.
It is. It's like Future Man.
Future Man.
So that's
that was pretty close.
That's really close.
Yeah, he plays probably, Josh Futureman.
It was probably on the board. In the Amazon pitch room, just being like Time Man's too.
Yeah, it's too.
It's a little too on the nose.
This is more about the future. Like, well, how about Future Man? Oh, fucking green light.
Yeah, we'll make that the name of the guy.
Yeah.
Wait, actually?
Is his name Future Man?
I think his last is Futureman.
Okay, we're looking this up.
It's Futerman. Futurman.
Yeah.
Futerman.
And the show is called Futureman.
Futureman.
That's so funny.
Yeah, he literally plays Josh Futerman.
That's very good.
That's funny. Is it a funny movie? Is it a funny
show?
It's a show.
I watched a lot of it. I thought it was
fun. I remember being intrigued by the previews I saw of it.
It's got, what's her face from that show that you like?
Eliza Coop.
From Happy Endings.
Yeah, Happy Endings.
Yeah. And, of course, from the final season of Scrubs.
The final season of Scrubs, yes.
Final
med
best,
school.
The final and best season of
season
Scrubs.
Season 9, med school. We couldn't have just done a spinoff.
Not a spinoff. Season 9.
Season 9!
Yeah.
Zach Braff's there for a bit.
It's on a different network, but we still call it a
spinoff. Fucking idiots.
New
it
stuff.
Might still be airing if they just made it a spinoff.
It
for
might
all
be,
I know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, truly. Yeah.
Grey's Anatomy's still going, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So, oh, yeah, baby.
People love medical dramas.
Let's see here. We should play a game.
Oh, shit, yeah.
This
is a kind of a quick one. But basically, we already did a Mission Impossible episode.
We did. And this will be the last one we do.
This will definitely be the last one. So I decided to veer into just spy territory in general. But
this is the most spy Mission Impossible movie.
Yes, a whole
of the Macquarie run.
But then I was veering into just spy in general, but then I thought, you know what? Spoilers a little bit. There's no Bond on our list.
Mm-hmm.
So we won't be talking Bond on this list. So
talking Bond.
So this is a game called Bond Songs.
Bond Songs.
Bond Songs.
You only live twice, or so they say.
And that's the game. I will give you a movie, and you have to sing it. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
Great.
I know what we're going to do.
No, I'll give you a artist, and you have to try and name the Bond film they did the theme for.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
All right?
Cool.
We can do a buzz in, or we can just do, I don't know.
You sing in.
Yeah, that's better. You know what? You have to sing the theme in order to get it correct.
What?
You have to sing the theme song of the Bond movie.
Oh. Okay.
So even if you even if you don't know how the song goes,
you have to try.
You have to try.
Okay.
All right, first one is Madonna.
I guess I'll die another day.
Perfect. Nailed it.
Hallie understood the assignment.
She sure did.
And got an A.
Crushed it. Yes, that is Die Another Day. One of the worst Bong songs.
Oh, it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. And that movie is god awful.
Another day.
It sucks so hard.
All right, next one. I'm just anticipating all these now. What have I done? Paul McCartney and Wings.
Oh, live and let die.
Nailed it. All right. Maybe starting a bit harder. We'll see. Duran Duran.
Oh, a view to a kill. Or so they say.
Bum, bum. Yes, it's a view to a kill. Very good. All right, maybe a bit of a trickier one. Chris Cornell.
Casino Royale, you know my name.
Yeah, some of them are not, the song titles are not the titles of the movie, yes. Which I found interesting. Originally, I was just going to only choose ones that were same title, but then I'm like, no, let's throw in some of the other ones. But yeah, Chris Cornell does the theme for Casino Royale, which is You Know My Name. So good work, Greg. to be clear, he doesn't say Casino Royale in this, but I like, again, Greg knew the assignment. Sheryl Crow.
Tomorrow never dies, or so they say.
That's correct. I don't remember how that one goes.
The Katie Leg one at the end is better.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't remember that one either.
It goes, tomorrow never dies,
or so they say. Okay. All right, here we go. Can't wait for this one. Billie Eilish.
There's no time to die, or so they say.
Oh, God. That's correct.
Was I right? Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Aha.
Aha. Moonraker.
Or so they...
No, it's not Moonraker. Oh, I think that's one of the Shirley Bassey ones.
Oh, okay.
She did like three.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Any other guesses?
Octopussy. Or so they say.
Is it a Roger Moore?
No.
Is it Timothy Dalton?
It's the Living Daylights.
Yep, yep.
Okay.
It is Living Daylights, yeah. Which, again, I don't know how that song goes.
Or so they say.
Or so they say. The Living Daylights. All right, last one. I mean, I could do all of them, but I picked eight, so. Tina Turner.
Golden Eye, the fires are burning.
Golden Eye. Or so they say.
Nailed it. There you go. Spawn songs.
Love GoldenEye.
Yeah.
Yeah,
love that one. Yeah.
You know, I just saw it for the first time, like a couple months ago.
Yeah, I did.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's easily the best Brosnan.
Easily.
Yeah.
The other three are mediocre to bad.
Yes.
So, yeah. Unfortunately for him, because he's good.
I love him.
He's an excellent Bond.
Yeah. I love him.
Hot take. He's my favorite Bond.
That, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Just going through them, I'm like, I guess, yeah, hot take, but like, I don't think so. But again, mostly because the movies he's in aren't great.
Yeah.
But
then
he's really
good. If you go back and you're like, well, Roger Moore's in no good ones.
Yeah.
No. None of his stinks. Are good. Dalton is in one good one. Out of two.
Out of two, yeah.
Which is pretty good. And he's hot.
Yeah.
Lazenby's only in one.
Lazenby's in one, and it would be good if he wasn't in it. So. So what does that tell you?
Yeah.
And fucking... Connery, hot take, is is only in one good one.
Which one?
From Russia with Love.
Okay.
I think is.
I've only seen Dr. No of the Connerys.
I think that's the only good Connery one. And I honestly think it's the only good Bond movie until The Living Daylights, a movie that I like.
So I've seen Dr. No. Mm-hmm. I've seen all of the Moore. Mm-hmm. And I've seen all of the Brosnan. Mm-hmm. And I've seen all of the Craig.
Yes.
You've only seen one Sean Connery Bond movie?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Bond was not my thing. Like, for the long, and so like the only reason I've seen the Moors now is because I watched them all like again recently, and I'd seen, and it's also why like I never saw Goldeneye because Goldeneye's it wasn't so my thing, good. And so everyone's like going to see Goldeneye, and then they're like it's great. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure it is if you like Bond, like you know, I was a little rascal as a kid, and then because of that, I saw Tomorrow Never Dies and World Is Not Enough in theaters because everyone's like, ah, oh, like Goldeneye was so good. I'm like, okay, I'll try it out. And I'm like, yeah, these suck. Why do people like Bond?
You should watch You Only Live Twice.
I remember seeing the beginning of that one on TV once and being like, wait, they killed James Bond?
And then they give him an operation to make him look Japanese. And he spends half the movie in yellow faced. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. It's tough.
Wait, that's not the. That's still an Eon one, right?
What? They all are.
Well, there's one Connery one.
Never Say Never
that's
Again.
What it's called. Okay, yeah.
A very bad title.
Yeah. But anyway.
And a very boring movie.
There was a time quite a while ago now when I was living in the like Westbrook area where I was like, I'll start at the beginning and watch all the Bonds. So that's why I watched Dr. No. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, yeah, this is boring. Like, I don't like it. So I just stopped. But one day I'll probably watch them all because I'm a completionist.
From Russia with Love is a good spy movie. Like,
sure.
It's a good spy movie and it has enough goofy fun with the Bond stuff. And it like it's a seed planter of a bunch of like things that will become iconic except for the opening theme song, which is the next one, Goldfinger, which is a movie I don't care for. And Thunderball, boring. And then there's Honor Majesty's Secret Service, which should have been Sean Connery and it would have been good. Then he comes back for Diamonds Are Forever and it's bad and boring and he stinks in it. Oh, I forgot about You Only Live Twice. Less said about that, the better. Then all of Moore stinks. Then we got one. The reason I like The Living Daylights is because it's a small Cold War spy story that almost feels like a John le Carré movie.
Okay. Yep.
Except there's, you know, hunky Timothy Dalton.
Yeah, sure.
In it. Doing something
I
dangerous.
I like Dalton a lot. So
and I do like aspects of every Daniel Craig Bond.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are three of them I think are straight up bangers.
Yeah, I had a similar thing with the Craig era where again I was just like Bond's not my thing. So I didn't see Casino Royale in theaters, but then, you know, everyone's, and I was like, okay, I'll watch it. Cause I remember the trailers. I was like,
and you saw Quantum of Solace in theaters and you had the same experience.
Yeah, and I was like, well, this stinks now.
Yeah.
And I was like not actively excited for Skyfall because of that. But then did see Skyfall in theaters and I really liked it.
So good.
And I was like, okay, like this is the Bond I can get behind. Yep. And then, Spectre stunk and then, No Time to Die was pretty good.
There's things to like about Spectre, which is the worst part about that movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there's a lot to like, but it's a mess.
Yeah. Who do you think is going to be the next Bond?
Ben Whishaw. I think they're just going to make
gonna do that
Q.
Again.
They're going to promote him to Bond.
Just going to do another white man.
You're going to make QB?
Yeah. No, I do think, here's what I think.
Yeah.
I don't really care who they cast for Bond. Yeah. They're going to cast a white man. Their swerve is going to be he's going to be a brunette. With brown eyes again. That's going to be their swerve. He's got to be 40.
Yeah.
He's got to be James Bond. That's the thing. Eon Productions is not going to let that go as long as, you know, they're the same people in charge. Why would they? What they have to do is make a 60s movie.
Yeah.
They got to make...
That'd be good.
The way you make Bond relevant is put him in a time period where he was.
Yeah. That's true.
That's the only way that I see it working. And then you can actually like explore this character and why he's the way he is. Because he can actually be a World War II veteran with actual like demons chasing him.
Is one of the things about... No, because Brosnan wasn't British.
He's Welsh.
He's Irish, yeah.
Oh, is he? Yeah, he's Irish.
He's Irish,
sorry.
Yeah. Irish born, but I think lived in America for a long time before he was cast. Yeah. Anyway, but
he was Remington
Steele. And Craig's not British, right?
Oh, he is.
He is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember if there was like a always like a thing about like we have to cast a British person.
Well, Lazenby was Australian.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And Connery is Scottish, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Dalton, English. More.
So like basically
English.
They need to be on an
island.
An island, yeah.
Yeah.
An island nation of some kind.
You can get away with casting an Australian.
Sure.
Once.
So, yeah. I was asking because I don't think they'll cast Glenn Powell.
I don't. Is he Australian?
No.
No.
I think he's
I would be so happy if they cast Henry Cavill.
Yes.
I mean, me too. Yeah. I think that's a great choice.
He's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's so attractive and he's 40.
And he's proved.
Ye.
That he can do spy shit.
Yeah, he's proved it. Man from U.N.C.L.E. is a great audition movie for him to do that. He doesn't even do a British accent in it.
No.
But he is British.
But he's British.
So he can do one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'd be down for it.
Yeah. And you put him in the 60s. Nobody saw Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Except us cool
it
kids.
Was a box office bomb. Nobody remembers it. You know, just make him Bond.
I fucking love Man from
put
U.N.C.L.E.
it in the 60s.
We watched it like 2 days ago.
Did you?
Yeah, it's great.
I loved it.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
Who directed that again?
Ritchie.
That's right. It's a Guy Ritchie, rare current Guy Ritchie that I enjoyed.
Yeah, it's the, I was saying it's the best non-Sherlock Holmes Guy Ritchie movie.
What's the best Sherlock Holmes Guy Ritchie movie?
Sherlock
Game
Holmes.
Game of Shadows?
Is it Game of Shadows? It might be
Shadows
Game of
better,
Shadows because
yeah.
it's got the Jared Harris
it's
of it all.
Got Jared Harris, yeah.
Yeah.
He's
really
good.
And we brought it back.
Yay! Yeah. Well, it's a different guy, but.
Jared Harris is in Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Oh.
That's what we were saying.
Oh, gotcha.
Sorry.
I haven't seen it in a while, clearly.
Sean Harris.
I thought
Jared
Sean Harris,
Harris
was what we were.
Yeah. No relation?
No relation?
No relation? They're English, so.
Let's see.
Aren't they all relations?
Jared Harris.
Well, while Alan looks that up, I will say thank you, Allie, for joining us on this mission.
I chose to accept it.
Good. I'm happy about it. And you can always reach us
Jared
at...
Harris is the son of Richard Harris.
Yes, I did know that.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. No relation, though?
Not that I can see.
Okay, well, I'm going to wrap it up. You can always reach us at the Hammock District on 3rd at gmail.com.
Numerical 3.
And you can reach us on the socials at Bad Neighbors Pod. Primarily Instagram. And you can also check us out on Patreon. Patreon.com/Boathouse Studios. House spelt the German way. We are currently going through some of the worst movies of all time. The Chipmunks. Alvin and the Chipmunks, the first one. Garfield, the first one. And the Smurfs.
The first one.
The first one.
Yeah.
We'll see if we make it through that. And on the other side, we'll do some good movies. But watch some terrible shit with us on the way. It's fun to watch bad movies together.
Yeah, Simon eats Theodore's poop.
It's funny.
Yeah.
He spits it out and says, "You owe me.
You owe me one."
It's funny. It's good.
It's
Theodore's
funny.
Theodore's cute.
Theodore's very cute.
Theodore's very
no,
cute.
No shade to Theodore ever. No,
he's the best. And as always,
bye.
Bye.